Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Who are Leonardo, Michelangelo, Raphael, and Donatello? More and more parents are wishing their children had never set eyes on these new superheroes.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanell here. Thanks, Tommy. And thanks to our listeners for downloading and streaming, or streaming, this episode of Filthy Casuals.
If you're managing to do both download and stream at the same time... Mm-hmm. I guess that's normal for street. Streaming is just downloading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Oh, that's streaming crazy. Is just downloading, man.
You're just watching it while you're downloading.
But anyway, thanks for doing that, everyone. And thanks for Adam Knox for joining us.
Hey, I had to. Nah, I wanted to, too. Yeah. There's a bunch of video games this week.
Stuff's happening.
Well, there's one.
Well, there's also, we should plug, we've got the live show rapidly approaching.
Oh, yes.
Saturday, July the 2nd.
The 2nd of July at 5:30 p.m. AEST. Mm-hmm. You can come in real life to Comedy Republic, or you can stream it online through Comedy Republic's streaming services, which is just fucking downloading, dude. That's crazy. ComedyRepublic.com.au actually lets you download it technically for 24 hours.
And bro, yes. It's the same in real life. It's like you're streaming it live in front of you, but it's also downloading the memory into your brain at the same time.
The brain has 2.5 petabytes of storage in it, apparently.
So yeah, come to that. If you're in Melbourne, we'd love to see you there. And yeah, if you can't make it, if you're in another part of the world, you can, stream it live online. It's it's happening very soon. If you haven't got a ticket yet, then please do that. ComedyRepublic.com.au.
It is a part of sort of us doing a thing called Giant July.
Oh, yes.
Which is where we're going, hey, it's July. Come on over to the Patreon.
Yes.
Where the regular stuff we always do, which is you get videos early, you get a bonus podcast every week that is this, but about everything that's not video games. And you get a bunch of other stuff that we'll be doing during July.
Yep. Yes.
It's it's a famous marketing technique where we've made it seem like we're putting on a bunch of things for you, which we are.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the true motive is that we'd all like a bit more income.
Yes. If you would like to sign up to Patreon, it supports the show.
Yes.
And it genuinely is the how we are able to do it.
So yeah, absolutely.
It means the world to us. And in... just a small token of our appreciation. Mm-hmm. We give you a little bit of content.
That's right.
Just a little content out of the content nipple.
Yeah.
We squeeze it out.
A little suckle under the...
Yes.
And we're not Don't pumping it. We're not pumping it out of the content nipple. For you to, and you know, you just have it later. We leave you with a babysitter, and then we're off at the casino doing our own thing.
We're here. It's fresh.
Yes.
It's fresh.
Latch.
We're in a cafe. We're surrounded by people giving us disapproving looks. We don't care.
Yeah.
It's insane to be disapproving of that.
It's healthy.
Life is supported.
Yeah.
It is literally supporting someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
Let us do it. Both barrels.
We don't care that you're a bit old. If you're able to verbalize, I'd like the content nipple.
Yes.
There's an argument that you're probably a bit too old to be suckling on the content nipple. We don't care.
Or
very
advanced.
You can do it until you're 35 if you still want it.
Yeah.
Or older. Be a million. I don't. That'd be crazy. If
but
you're
yeah.
a million,
we're
get in touch.
Living to a million.
We've had one out. We've had one nipple popped out. For July, we're popping out the second.
Right.
I've got all eight ready to go.
We're doing some things that I think we're pretty confirmed to be doing. At least a little movie commentary.
Yep.
Will be a little extra thing we'll chuck out.
Doing some like live stream sort of stuff on there. We'll be giving all the details over on patreon.com/filthycasuals.
Yes.
I think is our URL to go to.
But in anticipation
Filthy
of
Casuals
that,
Pod, I think.
Filthy Casuals Pod. Filthycasuals.com.au has reliable links.
The link, yeah.
But you can get on there right now and, get the back catalogue of the sister show to this, where, give you a little extra episode every week.
Yeah, there's a very big back catalogue, we should say, like 200-plus episodes right into your RSS feed.
It's a fun time and it supports us, so we just massively thank everybody who's doing that.
Yes.
And if you're not doing it and you want to try it out in July, jump on over.
That's the month to do it,
If you're not doing it and it's not for you, hey. Welcome in anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So here we are.
We're taking, you may remember July of last year. We had a pretty established thing that we were doing, July has rolled around this year. It's the second time we're doing July and we're deviating from the script. We're doing things a little bit different. You may have thought you knew what you were in for, but...
It's the Crisis Core remake.
Oh, I see what you're doing. I had no idea. Yeah, okay. Sephiroth is from the old podcast.
Yep.
The original Sephiroth from the Filthy Casuals book club is back in Nintendo 69, the other podcast. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Well, yeah, maybe, hey, if you've been listening to the podcast on your PlayStation 4, come July, you'll be able to listen to it on the PC. The first thing from this...
It's out now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. From the Final Fantasy VII 25th anniversary celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
The most important of all the Final Fantasies. It's the only individual one that gets a big...
its own anniversary.
Theme. Yeah, that's true.
I guess it must be the most popular.
By a mile. By a huge mile. It's the only one with so many games around. And yeah, they really... I thought like there were a couple of live streams of individual games that happened during this weird... E3 didn't happen, but some stuff went on anyway. The other one, very quickly, because there's nothing to talk about, was Dragon's Dogma 2, which they announced in a stream and then said there'd be a stream for another stream, and they did that stream and announced Dragon's Dogma 2 by three men just taking their jackets off and they were wearing Dragon's Dogma
T-shirts.
2 shirts.
Yes.
That rules.
All we saw of it.
Yep.
Which is not the way round. Capcom showing less than Square Enix did about Final Fantasy was not the gamble that I had placed.
Well, I wish that's how we were announcing Giant July, just at the live show next weekend, just all rip off our jackets and the Patreon Filthy Casuals URL on the shirts that we're wearing.
No, tattooed onto our torsos.
So this sent
Halo 2 style right on our bicep.
Yes. This sent Dragon's Dogma 1 rocketing back up the Steam charts, I believe.
Yeah, it was also on sale for like $4.
Right. Never played it. What do you reckon? Worth going back in on?
I don't know. I never played it either.
Okay.
I played it like a year or two ago. Maybe like a remastered release or whatever on the PlayStation 4. It did not hold up for me.
Okay.
People, I think, are big into the story and the world building and all of that stuff.
Right.
But gameplay-wise, it was a bit clunky.
Okay.
It's got a touch of the Monster Hunters about it from what I see, where it's one of those things that like plays a very specific way.
Yeah,
like,
that's
with the
true.
Older Monster Hunters, at least.
Yeah.
So I'm keen to go back in or go in on an old game.
People seem hyped, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also
it was one of those ones that very much seemed, for a decade now, like it was dead.
Yeah. And speaking of games getting very bizarre presentations in this like E3 wind down thing, there was a 25-minute presentation about Xenoblade Chronicles 3, which the second one I think we all found was very complicated, lots going on, incredibly convoluted. And I didn't watch the presentation, but from even people who are super into number two are like, wow, there's even more bullshit in this one.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Right. I've got a big sword, I have.
Yeah, lots of British shit. Yes. Lots of incredibly intricate battle mechanics that are going to take 9 hours to get your head around.
Yep, and incredible jiggle physics.
Yes.
That's
and,
what
but hey, I'm just glad that this is happening in its own presentation and not as part of a separate Nintendo Direct, whenever that ends up being.
Right. Well, probably... at the end of this month is still what people still seem to think that in about a week there'll be probably immediately after next week's episode of this goes up.
Yes.
There'll be another Nintendo Direct.
Yep.
But yeah, speaking of jiggle physics, Final Fantasy VII had its thing that integrated for the PC is out.
Yeah, it is.
They showed a fair bit of Remake Part 2, which is called Rebirth.
It's called Rebirth.
I think it's just straight up called Rebirth, right?
Final Fantasy.
It's not even called Remake 2, which is which is really interesting. Like it, watching the trailer, it really struck me that we kind of felt like, oh, this is a bit of a... in the lead up, it was like, well, this is a little shitty that it's like an incomplete thing. Like you're only seeing like one act of a story.
Mm-hmm.
But then this second chapter having a kind of different name not only kind of justifies what they're doing with it, but also gives a lot more context to sort of what they're doing with this like branching storyline kind of thing.
Yes.
This like is, it's no longer called Remake. It's like, well, this is a new thing.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what I wanted to see, honestly, how, spoilers for Seven Remake, I guess, from how Seven Remake ended. I won't be too specific about it, but like, it goes in a different direction to it being a pure remake of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, pretty overtly. The characters are saying things like, oh, that first story, don't know if it's going to go that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They seem to be aware of the existence of the other game.
Yes. Or the original game. Different reality or something, different timeline, which, is explicit in the Rebirth trailer.
Right.
Yes.
They mentioned that as well in that. So I guess spoilers if you watch that trailer.
Right.
But also, you should have played the remake already.
But also, I think that was pretty much out there by now.
Absolutely. That's.
So it's confirmed it'll be 3 and this is the second part, PS5 only now.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I think at some point in the past they had said that this remake trilogy, but I don't think they're even calling it a trilogy then, would be a PS4 thing, but it's not.
I think, sure, they were saying that probably in like 2017.
Right. When it's just been long enough that things have changed.
Yes.
They showed some of Cloud and Sephiroth sort of walking around. Like, I guess that flashback sequence in...
Yeah, Nibelheim stuff, right? I think. The mountains,
And it's just cool to have a proper thing of like, this is Rebirth. It is. This is... we're going in the weird... this is a different thing direction.
Yes.
It's part 2 of 3. The other one will be called re-something else.
Mm-hmm.
And you would assume. And...
I would guess, based on Final Fantasy VII reunion.
Maybe.
That's a big thing in the plot.
That makes sense. Oh, yeah, of course. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they also said that Rebirth will be winter 2023.
Yes.
Which means end of the year 23, start of the year 24. But they said next winter.
They did.
Which was a very weird way of phrasing it. But that means not the coming winter, which is
not
the next
this
winter. Next winter.
Yeah.
But so 23 to 24 probably.
Because it's currently winter in the Northern Hemisphere.
It's currently winter here.
Oh,
so it is summer up there.
So that makes more sense that they would be like, not the coming winter.
Not the approaching winter, the future winter that will happen after another winter has been and gone.
Mm-hmm.
And two winters here.
Two winters hence.
Two winters hence.
Yeah.
Should the moon rise
yes.
on another winter.
Because a lot of people, when they say next weekend, they will mean
the coming
this coming weekend.
Because
sure. So if they've said next winter and they literally just mean this coming November, that's awesome.
And when they...
Because they didn't say a year. They just said next winter.
Yeah.
And they also said winter when for us it's summer, which doubles the confusingness of it. But the reason it's the one after is because this coming winter is when the Crisis Core remake
is.
Which... they've done bits and pieces to it, it looks as though, to sort of bring it in line with what they're doing with Final Fantasy VII now. And they've upped the visuals and stuff. So the gameplay looked like it might be a bit Final Fantasy VII Remake-ified.
Yes, that's what I got from it.
I've never played Crisis Core. I don't really know much about it.
Right.
So it's a prequel, right?
It's a prequel to Final Fantasy VII. It was on the PSP. And it was about Zack going around doing missions.
Who? Right. Making a porno with Miri?
Yes.
That's the one.
Yeah. One of Kevin Smith's last almost good movies. I never played it either.
He's making Dragon's Dogma to Clerks as well.
Right, Dragon's Ligma.
What about just Dogma 2?
Yeah, well, because I brought it in to what we were doing before.
But I was going to say, Zack is featuring heavily in both Rebirth, it appears, and general Final Fantasy stuff. Because, Crisis Core is the Zack story.
Yep.
It's hard to tell quite what the level between remaster or remake or whatever is, but that's coming end of this year.
On to PS4 and PS5?
I think so.
So these two are both... we didn't know about Crisis Core until this announcement. These are both way Sooner than I would have predicted. Even Rebirth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess 2023 into 24, I could imagine it being like March 24 or something, getting a bit of a delay.
Yeah.
So that'll be 4 years after that original came out.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess it's the engine's all done, so they're just kind of... But I guess I'm just in my head, I have, how long remake took to come out. But
they've said some stuff about how they've like changed up how they're making them so that the third part should also come quicker after the second. They said something about that too. So,
and because, I think like they restarted development on Remake, you know, in that time period that we knew it existed.
That's
so,
yes.
And some version of a Final Fantasy VII Remake has been being toyed with there for years.
Yeah. And so, then, yes, they've already worked on the PS5 upgrade stuff and like Intermission, the DLC was all, you know, technically aimed at, you know, that. The current gen.
Yeah. They're honking away at it.
Absolutely. They're chocobo ing away at it.
And it's good to know, that now that they've upgraded Remake for the PS5, that my big fear with them being split up and being, you know, inevitably ending up multi-gen was like, well, what are you going to do with your... Are you just going to have to reset from... Are you going to be able to pick up Rebirth with all your... with some of your progress carried over, like your characters to the level they were at, is it going to be just a hard reset or is it going to have an assumed, like, you know what I mean? Will it start with your characters just at a default kind of like median level? But it's good to know that if they do choose to have some of that stuff carried over, that there is going to be like a seamless thing.
Yes.
Who knows if that's even what they're going to do with this?
Yeah.
Who knows? And there were a couple other like...
So, they announced Ever Crisis.
So, they've had that going cooking for a bit, I think.
Right.
That's another remake of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, but it's just like a remaster, it looks like. So, it's like the chibi style, like less obviously polygonal and old-fashioned, but not real-looking.
My understanding of it, too, is it is a condensement. I don't want to say a condensation because that means something, but
it's
I guess
wet.
That's
water
the word
on water on the windows. Yeah,
it's a wet version of like all the Final Fantasy VII games.
Yeah,
crammed together into this like chibi quicker version thing. So you'll get fucking what's his name, Vincent's shooter, something of that in there, like Advent Children and whatever.
Right.
Final Fantasy VII is so fucking weird.
Yeah.
Because this remake of Final Fantasy VII is technically a sequel to a PSP movie.
Right.
Like, everything is so fucking weird with it, but they're making it even more confusing. Good for them.
But this looks cool. Like, if it is more like, okay, taking the content and story progression of the original Final Fantasy VII, chucking in some other stuff. And then the turn-based battle stuff looks like Final Fantasy VII Remake. Like, the graphics of that are insane. So
it's weird, man. Yeah. Like, cause
I don't know. I'd do that. It's like, okay, well, I'll play that and I'll play all the way through Final Fantasy VII.
On one level, I never need to see like a Marco reactor again. But
well, we are very different.
I get why they're sort of doing this too.
I could do, I thought this trailer was great for Rebirth and getting some confirmation of it. Like, we obviously knew it existed, but seeing exactly what it is. I mean, I'm pumped for it. I never even finished 7 normal one all the way through.
Yeah.
Right. I just like Remake is an all-timer for me. I just had such a good fucking time with all of that game. So I'm so hyped to continue it on. I might save going through all of 7 until just before Rebirth's out to kind of catch myself up to speed with the bulk of Remake and
that's
also where it's diverging from.
Well, and I think that's what Ever Crisis will kind of be.
Right.
Yes. So that might be a good way.
Exactly. Because you did that, right? You played the original 7 up to like the end of Midgar and then played Remake.
By coincidence at the point that I had kind of dipped out ended up being where Remake went up to.
Yeah. Yep. And then there's some mobile game.
Yeah.
Which is already out and is very popular apparently. First Soldier. I think this was like revealed and came out like a year ago, it feels like.
Right.
But
a lot of Final Fantasy VII stuff.
Yeah,
it's
I'm excited.
It's kind of strange to not, it's pretty soon, but not have a date for Crisis Core.
Yeah,
I mean, it's within the next 6 months-ish, 6 to 8 months. Normally, you'd think you'd have a date.
Yeah.
At this point?
I guess just how weird everything still is from COVID and whatever. Maybe they just hedging their bets a little. Better to be vague than to delay,
I suppose.
Which I do think they will delay Rebirth.
I think all of this is going to get delayed. Those targets seem like probably 6 months before you can expect any of this stuff.
Yeah.
At a guess.
Yeah, agree.
Which, you know, whatever. There was like an interview with the Cuphead people where they talked to them about delays and that sort of thing. And they were like, who cares? And I sort of, agree, like, on one level, agree. Like, I get that when someone said something's happening and then they go, oh, I actually know. Then it's like, well, why'd you say it in the first place? Mm. I would love for the thing to be a more casual, hey, this is coming out in the future, rather than like, this is November 11, 2022.
Yeah.
Yep. And
then they're like, actually, I mean, April next year. Like, well, that's such a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. You had to have known a bit that it was going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting I love the Cuphead guy saying that, because it's kind of like the reason that it becomes an issue for development studios is because it's like there's this idea of like bad press if you delay a game. And so just kind of like normalizing it, that it's like things are going to slip, or you don't have to put this date on it that you're not going to make. Like just being like, don't ask me about it. Don't contribute to this conversation.
Yes.
Like just if it stops being reported on as this fucking big thing, then... It, you know what I mean? It won't be a thing where the higher-ups are feeling like they have to destroy people's lives to get their little novelty toy out.
Yes.
Like,
right. And that's the thing, is these sort of indie studios, like the people making Cuphead or like Silksong and all that sort of stuff, they've got the freedom to be able to do that because they don't have a publisher breathing down their necks being like, no, we need it for this fiscal... Like, that's when the conflict comes in terms of announcing dates, is because Bethesda is a huge company now owned by Microsoft and has people who don't give a fuck about people's lives or about video games.
Yeah.
The only two things that matter. setting those dates.
Absolutely.
You know.
Or instances where you have a huge publisher get behind a indie game and then be like, yeah, you've got to release it
right
in November. And yeah, we know that you've been talking about these, you know, goals you had for it in the press, and it's not going to be ready, but we've told you the date. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of shit where people get pissed off with games.
Yeah.
So. Well, an indie game that never really got dated until about a week ago.
Mm.
And it just came out and it's fantastic.
Okay.
Teenage Mutant.
Whoa.
What's he going to say next?
Hero.
Oh.
Turtles. Shredder's Revenge.
Yeah, by the time you got to the end of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles bit, I knew you were going to say Shredder's Revenge.
Right, by the time you said Shredder, I knew Revenge was going to be the next
one. Well, he's back and he's going to be angry.
Yeah.
That was announced even at one of these things, was it? Or was it existed before?
It's been
before,
announced
or?
For a little while, but it never really had a date or a time frame. And then it just, in the Summer Games Fest a week ago, it was like, oh, it's out in a week.
Right.
Which is kind of the best sort of announcement for something like this.
So
I've been playing a fair bit of it. It is a throwback to the, I guess it's like, it's almost as if it's a follow-on sequel from Turtles in Time.
Sure.
As if it came out on, like, let's say the PS1 when they were still doing pixels, but the pixels could just look a bit better and they'd have, like, you know,
well, like an arcade game from the early 90s, with the big sprites and it's a weirdly specific out of time look that never existed on a console properly.
Yes, a lot of pixel art stuff.
Yeah,
and it's also a bit of out of time look of the Turtles as well, because the Turtles
in Time.
There's the there's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There's like a cartoon now where they look different.
Yeah,
there's the movies where they look different, and it just pretends that none of that stuff exists. And it's just the like late 80s, early 90s cartoon that we, the people of our age, grew up on.
Feel like even in this century, the post Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles century, I would call it.
Yes.
And then people would be like, what? And I'd be like, the 21st century. They'd be like, say that. Fucking hell. The millennium.
The previous one was the Shellenium?
The Shellenium.
And this is the Willenium.
This is the Willenium.
Yeah.
there's been like four variations, big rebooty variations.
3D animated movie.
That 2009 one, right? The Michael Bay's, this new animated thing. So I guess I mean three rather than four, but there must have been another.
I think there's like two different series since we were kids as well.
Yeah, definitely. There was that where they introduced the girl turtle.
Yep.
I remember
with
that.
The teal bandana and stuff.
And there was a live action version of that TV show too.
Yeah, so there's been a bunch.
There's a fuckload of turtles
upwards
out there.
Upwards of five, I'm willing to bet.
Yeah, one for each of the turtles.
I think there's a relatively recent one too where they look, where it's a bit more kind of like moody and they look a bit more serious.
But I think you're right. I think I might have seen some of that actually.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a comic.
I don't need moody turtles. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, they're teenagers.
Me. Yeah.
They're learning to masturbate, you know?
They're learning to
Shredder's
masturbate.
Teaching them.
Shredder's teaching them.
Why do you think I use a pole?
It's called The Stranger. but yeah, this is your classic, that era of the video game and the kind of kooky, fun little cartoon where they got the rounded heads and the, you know, bit of sense of humor to it.
Yeah.
And it is great fun. It's the same people who did the Streets of Rage 4 that came out a year ago, maybe just over a year ago. Mm-hmm. It is very faithful to the vibe and feel of those arcade games. It reminds me a lot of Sonic Mania, where it's just kind of like a continuation of the style of this game that you loved back in the day. With, you know, it still is, if you were bored by that style of game back in the day, there's not a ton more here, but there is just enough for it to feel modern enough without having tinkered with the formula. So, there's kind of like more combos you can do. The turtles all kind of play differently, which I don't believe they did in the original arcade games. I think it was just you literally were picking a different color.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a story mode and... It's not a super long game, but there is replayability in the levels all having these little challenges for you to do. So, you know, they've kind of built enough in there to kind of, flesh it out and feel like there's enough stuff to do that's not just doing the same formula. They've put as much new and interesting mechanics in there as they can without sort of it feeling like it's a, you know, a completely different style of game.
Yes.
And it's fun. It looks great.
It is fun. It's simple to kind of pick up and play, although I guess, Nox, you played it for the first time just before with us, and there was a clear, delineation of, like, well, Nox did the worst.
Yeah.
I did the middlest, and Tommy did the best based on how much we played it.
And just jumping in with two other people playing and just a bunch of stuff being on the screen and, you know, doing it for a video as well, it's the sort of thing where... There's enough going on in there that you want to learn how to play it.
Yeah.
It's not button mashing.
You really quickly feel yourself start to get better at it, and the combos and all every level feels very different. The variety of enemies that they've put in and kind of learning like, okay, this one takes this number of hits and it has this kind of like weak moment where it'll do this and this is its attack. Like it is, you're just going through levels, plowing through enemies, but they do enough to keep it all visually interesting and kind of thematically different and the challenge kind of really does ramp up.
Right. I'm still quite early, so the challenge hasn't ramped up. But I think for me, it all hinges on the presentation.
Yes.
Because it's more than just hitting one button over and over again, but it's not much more.
No.
It's hitting maybe two or three.
It's a game where when I have been in a boss fight and I die, you then have to go all the way back to the start of the level, and I always take a little, like I always go and do something. I never jump straight.
Yeah.
I never feel like jumping straight back in if I've failed a level. I'm never like, get me right back in there. I want to finish it now.
Yeah.
I'm always like, oh, I'll just go do something else for a bit and then I'll come back to this later. Because it's a bit, it is, yeah. It's fun, but it is samey.
Yes. But that having said that, the presentation is great. Like
yeah.
the music is really cool. I do like, all the stuff you said of like adapting the feeling of the old cartoon and the old arcade games to something modern and having it run pretty well. It runs perfectly on PC, which is what I've been playing it on. It's on Game Pass. A little bit of hitching or frame ratey stuff maybe on the Switch when there was shitloads on screen.
Because you can play this with up to six people. So six people plus. I think it... I don't know this for sure, but I think it might scale up the number of enemies and stuff that are coming for you when you're playing with
right.
more than one person.
I yeah, would right. guess that it was doing that from yeah. how many there were when we were playing it. From having played half an hour of it, I will guess that yes.
I don't know. It looked it looked similar to what... Because I have just, like, last night, I played those levels we played.
Right.
It didn't look that different, but I don't know. Maybe, yeah, maybe it's because there were three extra guys on screen, two extra.
But yeah, you've yeah. got your little, like, yeah, every level, like there's a TV studio where there's like a break mm-hmm. room where you walk
there's
past.
There's a TV studio in every level.
Yes.
Every level.
Yeah, every level. There's a TV studio with a break room.
This game's fucking weird.
It's very samey, but it's quite fun.
Yeah. You walk past a bit where there's like, I guess it's like an aerobics show that's yeah, on there yeah. and the little foot soldiers are doing their yoga stuff. Like yes. there's all kind of different stuff like that in every level of like a different thing that they're all kind of doing in the background, and then they notice you. They've like the animations of, and like all the different turtles have their own different little personality and idle animations yes. and little taunts that they do.
Special attacks, which are cool.
Yeah. And yeah. they've got all the voice actors from the show back.
Right.
To do their lines for this, which yeah, is really sick. Cool.
The multiplayer was exactly what you'd want for a game like this too, where it was just super easy to just, burp, we're in.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it looked like, I don't remember this from when we were doing it, but it has online as well, right?
Yeah, it does,
not
yes.
just local, yep. so yeah. Yep. That aspect of it is key and seems to be done exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, and the main story mode has like a cool little progression thing where you, it's very light, but you do kind of level up, and there's kind of rewards for going and doing that with all of the characters, like going through and seeing, right. I think you get all different endings and stuff like that. So there's not, I don't think there's a ton of stuff to it, but they have like put little incentives in there. And there's little collectibles in the levels to yeah. go and find.
There's the overworld map.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's very reminiscent of the first NES Turtles game.
Yep.
Which was so hard. We were talking about that it was actually rare to get to see that overworld
yes.
map.
Yes.
It's like, I think it was even after two levels, it was the first time you got to see it.
Yep.
And then was the infamous dam level, which is yeah one of the hardest video
it's
game levels
brutal.
Ever.
Fuck, maybe we should try and do that for a vid.
Well, it could be frustrating.
It could be very frustrating.
But I also love that, throwing that in the yeah. presentation as
yeah,
well
yeah.
was like a really fun thing for yeah someone who's been a fan for a really long time.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. It's yeah, it's on Game Pass. Check it out. I think it's on everything else as well. It's got me really excited for that. That collection of all the old ones that's coming out. I want to go back through all the Turtles arcade games because I fucking loved them back in the day.
Yeah, there was a bunch I just didn't play. I don't think I played Turtles in Time. Or maybe even two. I feel like maybe I only played the first Ninja Turtles game, which was the platformer. But yeah, I'm pumped for that as well. And yeah, having all this music in there as well, so perfectly done for the era and for being contemporary music as well.
Yeah.
It's a good package. It's a good damn package.
It's cool to see a nostalgia thing that is like, at the one hand, it's like a kind of pandering throwback exactly for people our age.
Mm-hmm.
But it still also does feel really fresh, and they've brought a lot of, like, they've got this hand animated, like 2D
yeah.
cartoon intro that they've done for this. They got Mike Patton to redo the theme song. There's a Ghostface Killer like rap song in the middle of one of the levels. Like it doesn't feel just like it's like going, hey, I mean, we did the Nickelodeon fighting game for a video the other week,
right.
and that really does just feel like, there you go, you 30-year-old fuckhead.
There's cat dogs?
Yeah. on the screen. Just on the screen. No, you know, wasn't even voiced until very recently. Just very, like, cash in.
Yeah.
But this really does feel like such a loving, like, no, this has to still be, like, a fun game to play. Like, we can't just coast on people's memories of the cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I never vibed with the Turtles for some reason, hugely.
That was my number one thing.
Right.
Turtles and Lego.
Right.
I was happy.
I thought I vibed with them really hard, but I'll tell you what, there's characters that are coming up in this where I'm like, I guess I didn't know the Ninja Turtles as well as I thought I did.
Yeah. There's like, a gator. There's a gator in there.
I remember him.
Okay.
Leatherface?
I think
Leatherhead?
So, yeah. Leatherhead maybe, yes.
Yeah.
Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah, that's Leatherface, yeah.
Okay, Leatherhead he must be.
Yeah.
I like Krang. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Wow, kid.
What?
No, nothing.
Well, you know what you don't need a chainsaw for? Trimming your pubes.
I hope not.
You know why? Because Manscaped is here to help. Manscaped.
Finally, I can put this fucking thing away.
This giant chainsaw.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even work.
It works when you got a dick the size of a log.
Okay.
All right. Timber!
But yeah, Manscaped, they're supporting our show once again. And hey, if you don't want to use a chainsaw, you can use the Lawnmower 4.0.
Sounds a lot more appropriate.
It is. It features a cutting-edge ceramic blade.
Cutting edge.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Very key for a blade. It reduces grooming accidents thanks to its advanced skin-safe technology.
I will say, having used these, I haven't had a grooming accident.
I was going to say as well, I can testify.
I can testicleify.
I can testify. Yeah, not that's... one single grooming accident.
Wait, you can testify that Adam hasn't had a single grooming accident?
Mm-hmm. Because he just said that, and I believe him.
And you'd testify to that.
I'll testify
in a court of law.
As a character witness.
Hand on the Bible.
The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 revs per minute motor. That's fucking fast.
Yeah.
That's so many revs.
That's heaps of revs.
Well, that's like fucking Kieran Perkins' house. Was he the guy who used to advertise?
No, he's pure light start. That's evil Kieran Perkins' house. He drinks the competitor.
Michael Klim?
Was it a tennis guy who did Rev?
Maybe.
Maybe it was Pat Rafter.
Yeah, maybe. Rev had a campaign for sure.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it is.
I reckon the dairy brand Rev used to advertise.
They had some advertising.
Nothing on Manscaped, though, where they go, hey, podcast. Yeah, do you want?
Go for it.
Mention
for
Rev.
Life.
Who gives a shit?
There's a...
If podcasts had existed in the 90s, every episode would have been like, brought to you by milk.
Yeah. Only 2% fat.
Fuck. There's a 4,000 kilowatt LED spotlight on the Lawnmower 4.0.
It's really useful too.
Very, very handy. It helps with a precise shave.
Lost in the forest, which you won't be after you've trimmed.
Yeah. Actually, that's perfect for weed whacking.
Yeah.
It really is. So take it on holidays with you. It's waterproof too. I think the 3.0 wasn't fully waterproof. 4.0, fully waterproof.
Hell yeah.
Shave in the ocean.
From the shower to the lake, as the coffee says. From your chest scruff all the way down to your ball throw.
Mm-hmm.
The Lawnmower 4.0 is the best trimmer around, and they have a bunch of other stuff as well, which you can find at manscaped.com. And if you find that stuff there and you want to buy it, well, just use the code FILTHY for 20% off and free shipping. That's incredible. Once again, a product we genuinely endorse.
Yep.
Getting it for 20% off and free shipping seems like a pretty good deal to me.
It really does. And you know what? It is.
I'm a little suspicious, but I'll go with you.
Will you testify to that in court?
I absolutely will.
Me too. Happily.
Donk, donk, donk. Agreed.
Objection. No, actually, I just want to agree. And if for whatever reason you want to be private when purchasing this online.
You've shaved your privates.
Yes.
And now you want to be private.
I'm having a private day. I'm going to watch Saving Private Ryan after this.
Yeah.
Private Benjamin after that.
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn.
For dinner, I'll eat none of your business.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to quit my job and become a private eye.
I thought there were no more things with private.
Genuinely
in there.
Angry.
Yeah. There's no private meal.
Yeah.
That must be it then.
I thought there must be a food that, like, sounded private, but
well, you've run out of at this point of the day. You've been doing private things all day. You've run out of private things to do. So you know what you're doing? Straight down to the zoo. Look at the monkeys. Primate. Next best thing.
Okay.
V and M even very close. Just
the
two.
Yeah, go up the alphabet a little bit.
I wouldn't do that. I would Google what else is private, and what would turn up is NordVPN.
That's right. The P does not stand for private though. It stands for personal.
I think it stands for private.
Virtual private network. Maybe
I think
it
that's
does.
What it stands for.
I thought it was very private network.
I thought it was very person and important.
NordVPN is a fantastic service. It keeps your browsing private. It keeps your password secure. That's a new thing they do as well. There's like a security package you can get. They have like a virus monitor and threat protection, browsing protection and stuff.
Global travel via the internet.
And that's the thing. The main thing that I think that people would use it for is hop around the globe and watch different Netflixes.
Do you ever get that alert when you like log onto a website that you've got an account for and the little Google Chrome warning will come up? It's like, hey, this website may have been, your passwords may have been compromised. And I always feel like, how could you? This fucking website, I trusted you.
Yeah.
I gave you everything. How could you be so... I feel so personally betrayed.
I yeah. told you that Tommy was my password and you tell the world.
Well, NordVPN has that as well. You can actually log in, you can give them like your Gmail and they will constantly keep keep you up to date on what passwords may have been compromised, which is genuinely important if you've like logged into a ticketing website and put your credit card in.
Yep.
So it does that as well. NordVPN. So you can get similar to Manscaped, you can get a big discount on your NordVPN plan.
Mm-hmm.
Big old discount.
Tell me about it.
Don't be private about this, Ben. Shout it from the rooftops.
This is the one bit that we need to know.
What a big discount. And you can get a month free on top of the discount. And some other bonus thing, I think, as well.
Go have a look for yourself. NordVPN.com and you use the code FILTHY again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or go directly to NordVPN.com/FILTHY.
Oh.
And you can get a discount. And you can also do what Nox said. But NordVPN and Manscaped, two things you need in your life. We endorse them. They support us.
Yeah.
And so, if you don't want to jump on the Patreon for whatever reason, you can support us by buying something you would get
exactly.
anyway.
Exactly. Long ad break there this week, and apologies for that, but you know what? When the riffs mid-ad are that hot...
Huh?
I don't know. I've been playing too much Neon White.
I was
and
gonna
it's
say,
eroded my brain.
Another official endorsement is fucking Neon White. The
well,
one
they haven't paid us.
No, but I don't. This is for free.
Okay.
If any, I paid.
Yeah, you yes, yeah.
Man, Neon White is a good fucking game.
You were telling me off air that you have 100% of it.
I've got an official achievement.
Wow.
I get a letter from the Queen now. Because I've gotten to 100%. It took about 16 hours is how long I played this game for.
Okay, it seemed like it would be a shorter game.
If you were to just zip through it, it is not that long of a game.
Sure.
You've got like about 90-something levels of this game, which is a first-person shooter puzzle racing game, basically.
Okay.
You are controlling it as you would many a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
You're moving
W-A-S-D?
Around.
WASD? Mouse?
That's exactly the buttons and the thing I was using.
Hell
are
yeah.
we WASDing, baby? Are we WASDing?
I've been WASDing all WASDing. Weekend. So you're running around first-person shooter style.
Yes.
Very platformery kind of short levels where there is a path through it. An ideal path that you were trying to take as quickly as you can.
Right.
After that, there are going to be little shortcuts you can take maybe to try and get the fastest time possible to get like an ace trophy
mm-hmm.
and to compete on global leaderboards. While you're running through it, you have weapons, much
okay.
like in a first-person shooter, that are represented by these cards that have...
Wait. I was on board.
Ignore the cards.
Okay.
Yeah, it
is the
not
cards.
A card game. The cards are just a representation of your weapon. It could
They're
also
a
be...
Okay.
A, exactly. Yeah. It could be a 3D model of the weapon spinning as well.
Okay.
It truly doesn't need to be a card. And I also was off put by it being like a card-based game.
Yeah.
But it 100% is not.
Okay.
So what's annoying about getting this game and loving it is how hard it is to describe to people in a way that is going to make them want to play it. Because this wasn't on my radar at all.
Mm. Yeah.
Started reading glowing reviews of it and... all these articles being like, oh, you got to play this game. Don't sleep on it. But I still, there was something about kind of like the presentation and sort of what I was reading about it that it kind of made me think, maybe not for me. And then it was actually you hyping it up, Adam, and describing it as it feels like an old kind of Dreamcast style kind of game.
Yes.
That kind of made the whole look and aesthetic and premise of it kind of gel a bit more in my mind of like, oh, okay, that era of sort of thing.
Yeah, it is 100% for whatever reason feels like... I remember having it with Death's Door where for whatever reason my brain was like, this is a GameCube game.
Right.
Yeah.
And my brain for this one is like, this was on the Dreamcast originally.
Right.
Because it just...
I'm still not in, I'll say. I never played anything on the Dreamcast, so that's not helping for me.
Let me keep going. So you're getting these guns and left mouse button, normal fire,
yep.
shoots it like a pistol or a rifle or whatever the gun is.
Is Mirror's Edge a bad comparison?
Ghost that's Runner. What...
Oh, okay.
Which you like.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm
I love
getting,
Ghost
I'm getting
Runner.
To that.
Yeah, right.
Where your second alternate fire is an ability.
Right.
Each of the guns has an ability attached. You can hold two at once and your abilities will be things like a second jump
mm-hmm.
or a fast dash that can also tear through enemies when you go through it.
Yeah, great.
Or like a launch, that sort of stuff. And you are whipping through these short levels as quick as you can. The majority of them under a minute.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them like 30 seconds.
Yep.
And
for the exit to open, you have to have taken out every demon that's in the level.
Okay. Yes.
So you are in heaven and you are killing demons to open this level. So there, it's the puzzle aspect of it is figuring out which guns to use at which time as you zoom through this level,
right,
taking out these enemies. If there's any shortcuts you can do where you don't actually need to go through that back bit because you can see that enemy from the distance over here. And it is so, it controls perfectly.
All right.
It you are just whipping through these levels in such a satisfying way where every time I finished a level, I would go back and get the platinum, the ace trophy thing on it for the quickest time you can do. And then there's like a gift you can find in the level that I'll explain what they're for later, but just a
it's kind of hidden, yeah.
Secret right. object.
So it's basically, yeah, you get a medal at the end and you, the levels are kind of all grouped into little missions.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll sort of gate you where it'll be like, you need to be at this rank to get up to the next mission. And the way you move right. up ranks is by getting gold medals. And in a lot of like, you know, Mario platformers kind of do that where they'll be like, oh, you need this many of the little
50 stars coin or whatever.
Things
yeah,
to
yeah.
open this gate. But yep. this does it pretty quickly. I found on my first run through, I was just kind of like doing them and getting bronze on all the levels and then getting to the next mission bit and it going like, hey, no, you need to be up like 7 more ranks or whatever.
Right.
And so now I'm pretty much like doing a level and if I'm not getting the gold, I'm sort of going and doing it straight away because you like yep. it really does force you to it's sort of like the getting the best time isn't like a like an optional replayability thing. It sort of is, but it is right. that is also very much built into like you need to be doing this as well as you can. And often like I'll do a level for the first time and get the silver, but I'll be like, okay, I know how to do it now. I could immediately right. go back in and get the gold on this straight
yes,
away.
Because it's like a sequence that you're learning yep. and wanting to right. do as quickly as possible. But it's so satisfying. It isn't repetitive in the way that might make it sound. It's really because it controls so perfectly that you know that what you did wrong.
Yeah,
and when you right. go through that level and you see, oh, fuck, I could skip that bit by using the jump thing here
yep.
and whatever, it's such a satisfying feeling and like zipping your... That we're getting motorbikes outside. yeah.
Someone's playing it in real yeah. life.
But you spend a lot of time in the air, you're flying around, then you're landing in water that you're just zipping through.
Yeah,
and
the
like,
water right. lets you run quicker. Yeah. There's
it sounds like a reverse super hot.
Kind of,
it,
yeah.
It seems a like little, the philosophy yeah. is the same, right? Like you are planning out the sequence
yeah.
every single time.
Yeah.
It's the same, so you're responding to the same things, but it's just like doing it faster rather than slow.
And just executing on the thing that you want to do feels really good. And you're right. restarting the level so quickly. Like the F button is literally just to restart
straight away.
The
right. I fucked it. Because the secondary ability that discards the weapon, so you only right. so like the gun that gives you like the second jump. If you use it, then it's gone, and you might right. like have missed the timing, and then you're just like stuck down the bottom, and yeah. it's like there's literally no way for me to get back up there. That like there yeah there is an exact way to get through the level,
but it's like Super Meat Boy or something where you're repeating right. it so quickly that yeah. that's part of the fun. Is it's just you're back in and you're going.
It does yeah. It is starting. I'm up to like I think I'm just over halfway, and it's starting to have that real. It is reminding me a bit of that in some of the stuff I'm doing. A bit of like a yeah Celeste Super Meat Boy kind of like precision speed.
It
like
certainly gets
timing.
There.
Yeah. yeah.
Especially if you're going for those ace trophies, which are the top one. Because as you get each trophy, you're unlocking. So the first one will unlock having a ghost of your replay visible, which can be helpful. Then the second one will unlock a gift. The gift thing, which is, yeah, it's like an extra bonus thing that you might need to use your guns in a weird way to hop up high enough to go get this thing or whatever. The third one unlocks a level hint, which is a little icon that you will see at one point that will show you maybe like a sequence break that you can do.
Right.
And then the fourth one unlocks like global leaderboard rankings and you can go back in and some people yeah. have crazy fucking times already.
So to get the gold, it's like there's a like a prescribed path that you do. And to get the gold, you just have to do that as quickly as you can. But then above the gold, there's like the ace ranking, which is the only way to do that is to fuck with the level in some way.
Right.
So you can figure that out for yourself, or yeah, you can unlock the hint that's just like, hey, just jump over here and you avoid that whole section.
Yeah,
it's
right.
so satisfying. Every level has something that is fresh and creative. It doesn't get repetitive. You really are in like every sort of mission generally unlocks a new weapon for you to have, and they're all just placed around the level,
right?
And you're really progressing as you go on. It just didn't become at all repetitive for me. It was so Moorish that I just wanted to chew through the whole thing. Other than
Yes.
The other aspect of the game, which outside of actually playing the game, there is a fair bit of like story and dialogue with these other characters. So you're all called Neons. You're all up in heaven. You are very bad people on Earth who are being given a chance in a tournament to be the one person who gets to beat it in heaven.
Right, right.
And there's 100 of you or whatever. And you, that's what your Neon rank is you're climbing up those rankings to be the best one who gets to live in heaven. And so you're interacting with this sort of main cast of characters in this kind of personary style where you can go around and build relationships with them by giving them those gifts that you find in the levels.
Yep.
And that will unlock this sequence of bonuses with them, which are literally listed out as like, it'll go like dialogue. Then another one, it'll have a list of like, for every gift, it'll be dialogue, side quest, dialogue. It'll
yeah, just I think have they kind of alternate one for one, don't they?
Almost.
It's so it's kind of like, yeah, all right, great. I've got two of the gifts, so I'm going to get a level. Mm. And then I've only got one, so I'm now going to get some dialogue as my reward. And it's like, brother, that is not a reward.
That is the only knock that I have against this game. I think the visuals and the sound, I guess we'll talk about in a minute, but are great. Everything about it I really love, other than the writing, which is not good.
Mm. Yeah, I almost didn't want to bring this up. Do you know? Yeah. Because I would hate for someone to. It is in no way a reason to not play
it's
the game.
Not so it's, bad that it's I am skippable, right. Tortured it's, by it. Yes, you can fast forward through it. Yeah. There's a big fast forward icon up in the corner, okay. Almost knowingly at
and
all
I'm,
times.
I'm trying to get into it because it's like I love everything else about it so much. But like it is because the other thing, if you imagine, like you said, that this is a game from that sort of Dreamcast era, lots of like this type of game back then would have just been like, oh yeah, here's some levels and a very vague conceit. Go for your life. So it's like having this kind of like these little cutscenes and this story. It's like it doesn't need to be. It's not really that sort of game to begin with. It's like a Super Monkey Ball where it's just like,
yeah,
here's a list of levels. Like, right. Give me the vaguest of conceits. I don't need there to be a plot. I don't need there to be all these characters. It's like they're drawn well. Like the design is cool, but the acting and the writing is just really dodgy stuff.
It's not good. I've seen people describe it as though it's deliberately like early 2000s. Anime kind of awkward and kind of it, but it doesn't work.
I'm ripping through it. It's hard to imagine anyone sitting there and being like super invested in.
I've been reading it and like skipping through as soon as I've read it and not listening to the voice acting.
Right, yeah.
The kind of background story that's going on is okay. It's like you've got amnesia, mystery, what's going on here for real type of thing. Starting to learn the backstories of these characters by giving them the gifts. It's just that they all kind of suck a bit. Mm. Where like, you know, you've got the like, I'm a psycho but cute girl. And that's, I'm the dumb friend. And all those characters.
It sounds like the Ferals.
I guess it's kind of that. You got Darren and you got...
Yeah, you sort of do. Yeah, it's the Ferals.
Mixie. Medigliana is like...
And the little floating cat guy is like the... From Feral TV when they had the big frog as
He really is. He's got the cigar.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, it's the Ferals.
Yeah, it's the Ferals, the video game.
Okay.
With that skin on it, if they had someone modded it to make it the Ferals, then go in.
But the problem is that the Ferals are all like making little jokes about Welcome to the Black Parade and shit that just don't land once. Yeah. It's not funny, and it is trying a little bit to be, which is a shame. It was a couple of writers in the credits at the end, so the main sort of designer, the guy who did Donut County,
Ben Esposito.
But yeah, I mean, I reckon it's a game
but
that
he's not done the writing. He's
nearly everyone should try because it's so fun. It's so unlike anything I've played before. It feels amazing to play. It's kind of like, so speedrunning is something that's generally like an extra thing that exists within video games that a community of people kind of like prescribe onto the game. They're here's the challenge that we have invented for ourselves. It sort of doesn't really exist within the game. It reads to me as if someone who loves speedrunning tried to make a game where the whole point is speedrunning to show the layperson how fun speedrunning can be.
Mm.
Like, because it is really like you get... You know, you have a good run and you get the goal, but you're still like, fuck, I could shave another two. You can really feel yourself getting pulled in by it. Yeah,
it really is not racing even, isn't the type of thing I tend to care about.
Right.
Mm. And this really fucking does it well because it just feels perfect to move around. Like, it's first person platforming for a lot of it, and it feels great.
Yeah, it has a really cool. It's nice, like the seamlessness of just like the leaderboards just have your friends on it automatically, so without having to like enable it or add people within the game. I'd just been playing it for a bit, and I got a couple of other friends who were playing it, and just last night I was just like, oh, cool, I got the little the little rankings just showing up on the levels, like is neat, like it's
Those side quests that you're unlocking for those characters, by the way, like extra sort of obstacle course levels that you're getting, and they're just such, they're so much fun to play. I looked forward to every new level that I was getting, and it's a shame that quite a sizable knock against what it's trying to do is that the writing isn't good. It's a shame because everything else is there. So if that had just been there, this would be a fucking unequivocal top fucking the list of all time games.
I still think it is for me. I'm enjoying all the rest of it so much. Right. Like, it's definitely, it's a game of the year for me so far. It's going to be hard to knock this out of my top five because it's just for something that just was not on my radar at all. And it's like, I was dreaming about it last night. Like, once you get into the systems
Dude,
of
same.
Like...
like, it's one of the, like Tetris or something.
Yeah, it's really got that. You're flying through the air. Like, one of the discard abilities you get is like a stomp thing. So you'll be flying up through the air. There's a bunch of enemies on the ground. There's also like a barrel of, you know, TNT next to them. So you do the stomp, you kill them. The TNT launches you up into the air on the next platform. You're just like, some of the levels like take a little bit of like trial and error to figure out. And then there's other ones where you're just, you know what I mean? You just, you get in the zone
that
and you just like, if
just
you're playing it enough,
you're
on the momentum and you're, when you do one in one go and you're like looking, you're like, oh, that thing down there, fuck, I need to, okay, land on that. And then like, oh, this ability, now I've got the double jump. Like it's, God, it's just the most thrilling feeling. Oh, and also a major part of it, which is enough of a stylistic thing that it kind of negates a lot of the negativity that I have towards the writing and the acting, is the music. It's got this crazy techno soundtrack that is like sort of, I mean, it's not like a, you're not racing along to the music, but it does feel like such an integral part of the game. It's so part of the atmosphere and the attitude of it that it's got this like crazy late 90s, like
there'll be one little voice clip that will, that this song will hook around, and so every mission there'll be this one track kind of under all of the levels kind of looping, and yeah, they sound really cool, like fast beat sort of 90s thing, and like one thing of being like heaven is a trip or like whatever some vocal clip that will come in every now and again, and
like Fatboy Slim style.
It fits so fucking well, and it's really good background action music too, because it doesn't get grating even though you're replaying these levels so often and playing through this mission at once. The music is fantastic. It looks really great too.
Yep.
Like it's a clean sort of simple art style in the game, and then the portraits and stuff of the characters are good. Mm-hmm. They're fine. They're anime looking sort of things, but I every aspect of it, other than that writing, which is a shame because there's a lot of it in there too.
Yeah,
you can fast forward through.
I wish I was more kind of hooked in on that, but also it's weird because it's annoying, but it doesn't matter. Like just does not need to be there at all. It's like this would work great as a game that just was a series of levels.
Totally.
There's still,
I appreciate the effort and the attempt at it. I think that's the thing, is like it almost was something where it would be additive for me to the game. It was almost something where it would be a boner and a good thing.
Yeah.
Bonus.
No.
It is a weirdly horny game.
Okay. Yeah,
a lot of the dialogue is like annoyingly horny.
Yeah.
It's annoying because I think a big part of what's grating me about the writing and the story and stuff is the horniness, because it's like the visuals are very anime inspired.
Yeah.
And then it's doing that sort of like that stuff that is like a trope of a lot of Japanese games, a lot of anime kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, but this isn't an anime. This is like Western people doing their version of what they think anime is, and their version of what they think anime is to just have
a stereotypical,
just to have just like super dodgy, pervy, horny stuff in there. Like it's kind of, it's like you can be a bit better than that, like without leaning into the worst bits of it.
It's a shame. And like, the game itself, so good.
Yeah.
Really fucking fantastic. The music, the presentation. I loved how, like, when you complete a mission, it's got this screen that just has a full mission complete written there, and some weird filtered voice goes, mission complete. And it's so Dreamcast-y.
Yeah.
And that era, that like brief window of like 99 to 2001 right. style of game. And it, but, you know, with this fresh, really original version of that, I thought, like, I just fucking ate it up. And 100% really, really like it. I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
I don't know how you would have pitched this, like, how you would have cooked this up and even come up with, like, a one little demo level to convince people of the mechanics, let alone the 90 or whatever that are in there. And they keep finding, they're all so brilliantly designed and just perfectly intricate.
It really is what you were saying before of, like, what if they took, like, the old Quake Done Quick thing and you just made a game that was focused on that and deliberately built around being, like, a kind of puzzle version of that. Well, yeah, you're rocket jumping and shit. Like, yeah.
It's at the moment, it's only Switch and PC.
I think so.
I believe.
Okay.
If you're going to get it on the Switch, it doesn't tell you this, but you can turn on gyro aiming, which makes it feel a lot smoother and easier. Yes. It's weird that it doesn't come up with a thing at the start of, would you like to do this? You have to know that it's in the menu and go and look for it.
And have you found the controls okay on the Switch?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I would if you've got the option, I would say it mouse seems like a game that is made for mouse and keyboard.
Yeah. I don't have that connection to mouse and keyboard from back in the day, so I just opted for controller because that's where I'm.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've got those options if you've got a PC, and it definitely seems like, and obviously it would like run a little better and smoother and everything.
It looks good on that, and it's like $30.
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
Great game.
Yeah.
Okay. Fucking neon white is very, very, very fucking good.
I'm going to give it a crack because I'm just about ready to move on from a couple of games I've been playing recently. One of them is very short and is more of like a funny idea than a game, although it does have fantastic puzzle gameplay. Something I mentioned, I think last night or the night before to you guys, The Looker.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What's The Looker?
It's a parody of The Witness.
Right.
Okay.
A witness looks at stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's witnessing.
Yeah.
The witness dead and loving it.
Yeah. And it's a parody, I guess, in the sense it's like, I think that kind of undersells the game itself, actually, because it's just a like, if someone made The Witness but with a bit of a sense of humor.
Okay.
So it really
You got fooled in pretty hard by this parody because you initially said to us, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, it's a sequel to The Witness. And then you came back 10 minutes later, you're like, my mistake, it's a parody.
Yeah. I think I read, because it was on Steam and it's for free, and I was just looking through new stuff and, you know, new releases and shit, and I was like, oh, cool. And I think one of the reviews was purposefully, you know, being like, oh yeah, it's by the Witness guy.
Darth Vader is back in Spaceballs.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah, going to the cinema and being like, wow, they made a sequel to Scream. They've just called it Scary Movie this time.
Well, the ghost face is in it.
Yeah.
But this, it looks like The Witness. The text is the same, all of that stuff, but it's much more simple and pared back. It's like you just launch it and it's like, hey, click to start the game. Mm-hmm. And then you sort of, open up on a little, like, clearly like a Unity engine, just, you know, first person. It looks like The Witness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And instead of, because The Witness, I've only played a bit of it, but it was like you'd sort of click onto a puzzle and then you'd like move a dot cursor like through the mazes and shit.
Yeah, like extend a line through them.
Right, like Caterpillar or so, you know, it's basically that. It's I don't know, I'm assuming it's PC only because it's like freehand, it's like you're just drawing with like a bit of red chalk.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, actually you're like hearing like as you're like, but it's very similar things. All of the puzzles I've seen so far are like, there's like a board, and on the board it'll say start or it'll be an S, and somewhere else on the board it'll be end or an E.
Yeah.
And you just have to get from the start, draw a line from the start to the end.
That's a witness.
And most of them at the start of the game are just like, you're just drawing one line across and then you'll be like, oh, see this thing like, boom, oh, this is lighted up and the power's gone from this one to the next one. So you keep moving along. And then it'll start to be a little bit more, inventive or lateral, where it's like, oh, where there's a start on this one, but there's no end. And then it's like, oh, if you like look behind it, you gotta like draw around the board,
or
you've
got to draw
along the wall to the next one.
Yeah.
But it just, yeah, it's gotten much more creative as it goes along, and you're like, oh, I've got to go up to the top of this tower, but how? Oh, there's a gate there. How does the gate open? And then you just like go somewhere else and
cool.
Like, oh, there's another puzzle over here that links to this one, and there's like, I think the best example of this game is that there is a maze, and it has a start, and it doesn't have an end visible, or like an E or anything written. But you'll be drawing a line, and a voice, the guy who made the game, obviously, will go beep, and then right. You'll keep going. You go beep, and then you go beep, beep. Oh, you're getting very close now. Oh, beep.
Yeah.
Oh, beep. And so, like, that's the guide to find out where the end of the maze is.
Right, right.
It's that. It's kind of like fun ideas that it'll throw in to kind of turn this stuff slightly on its side. There'll be like other ones it starts to introduce where you've got to like, there'll be little shapes on the maze, like, you know, a heart or a diamond or whatever. And you'll have to go through the maze and go over them in a certain sequence.
Yeah.
And it'll become more complex as you go. And you'll have to remember like, oh, the sequence is like, well, diamonds are first, then crescent moon, then, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so they'll just get more complex as they go. And then it'll be like, oh, on the other side of the map, there's a totally complicated one where it doesn't have the cues to remind you. You know, it'll be like, oh, maybe I'll go back and do these other ones, write down the sequence,
yeah.
And then go, you know. So it's a, yeah, pretty classic puzzle game, very similar to the actual Witness, but I think it's only like 2.5 hours long. But it's free, and cool. It's been very rewarding and very fun and kind of funny. And yeah, really enjoyable. So cool. I recommend it. It's
awesome.
Yeah, free on Steam. And what, then I've played
The Looker.
Yes, okay. The Looker.
Or you could do like a you could start with The Looker, and yes. Then you could go on to The Witness.
I think absolutely. You should play The Witness after this. Similar The Witness
to,
is so good.
Yeah, similar to the experience that people of our generation had with The Simpsons, yeah. Where we're more familiar with.
Oh, Clockwork Orange. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I just tapped out of The Witness. Because
me too.
I got to a point, like very early, I was just like, I'm not letting, I don't know, I'll play something else.
Fair enough.
But I do intend on playing The Witness. And then another very like, played a few of these lately, sort of like a city building game, but it's really just like, you're just clicking and putting down things and sort of taking care of itself. So there's like Townscaper is one.
I've played a bit of that, and that's like, completely objective free.
Yeah.
Was that the island one?
Yeah, you're just clicking the build.
No, that's Islanders.
Oh, Islanders right. Is the one I played, sorry.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, Townscaper, yeah, you're just like dragging and drawing, right?
You're just, yeah, building up as tall as you want, connecting them, but there's no, it's just meant to be a relaxing, you just sit there and just do this for the sake of doing it.
Yes.
Kind of get it to look how you just feel like it should look.
Yeah.
Change the colors and then just delete it if you want and start all over again.
Right, and it's then nice. Islanders is a bit more objective based where you're, there's like points, goals, and you have a certain number of like things you can lay out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a town center and a bunch of houses and stuff. And as long as you lay them out on the terrain in a way that adds up to enough points, you'll get to get a bunch more stuff.
Like
to
a
lay
farm
out.
Being near a field gives you more points or whatever
yes.
It was.
Yes, yeah. And so this one I've been playing is called Dorf Romantik. don't know why. It may be like a Romanian, like I assume it's not sure. An English phrase, probably.
Dorf.
D-O-R-F and then romantic with a K.
It does sound like a villain from the Ninja Turtles. Get him, Dorf.
Sort of, yeah, like an evil.
Those titles are done.
Evil tuxedo mask.
Yeah.
Dorf romantic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this one is. Hexagons. You got a pile, a stack of hexagons. You put one down and it's like all grass. And so the next hexagon, and they just, you know, it just, they keep coming up. The next one will be like a bit of grass on these sides and then forest on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, oh, well, I'll align the grass with the grass, pop that down. And then the next one might be full trees. So you connect that to the trees. And it just kind of goes on like that. Like there'll be ones with a stream running through it. And so you're like, okay, I'll pop that over here. And then You've got to, if a stream one comes up, you have to connect it to that stream. Or a train track will come up.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, okay, it's like a, you know, a three-way train track. Well, I guess I want to pop that over to this side of my little map, because when I get more train tracks, I'll want to be able to, you know, take them away, because obviously on the other side is like a forest, or there'll be houses there or whatever. And yeah, you're just kind of like expanding concentric building of these tiles onto your landscape, essentially. And I'm not sure what causes the level to end. I guess maybe you run out of tiles and it's a high score thing is what I've been getting. It's like, oh, your high score is 6,000. But again, similar to these other ones, it's not, there's no like real stakes to it except for like being able to continue to build.
Yep.
And have an aesthetically pleasing and functional little, you know, landscape. And yeah, it's just really fun. It's really, it's a great one to like listen to a podcast and just
zone out
and tap away. It's really, you know, it's just, you know, plug in and play.
Cool.
There's no, you know, continuity to it. But yes, similar to Islanders and Townscaper.
It's just on PC?
I would assume so.
Yes, at this point.
Yeah.
And there is not a Switch version in production, even though it was indicated at one point, but it is just Windows.
Yeah, right.
Right now. Because I looked it up. It was for students in Berlin, German students.
Oh, cool.
Oh.
Dorf Romantik translates to village romanticization. Dorf is in Dusseldorf.
Oh, okay. Oh, I like this. So yeah, that makes perfect sense. It's basically like, well, how do you go with planning ahead if maybe you can't? You know, it's like you have to be adaptable and have in your head a sort of a mind's eye picture of how you want this little village to look.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, really chill. Not very expensive. I feel like I might have got it on sale, but I don't think it was that much at full price anyway.
Cool.
But yeah, if you like those kinds of games, even your like unpackings and stuff like that,
right? Mm-hmm.
This is probably in that category. Your wholesome games.
Cool.
But I really liked it.
Both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You have your fast action
yep.
and your slow village.
And in the middle, Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of recommendations there. Big week coming up next week. A lot of stuff on the docket that I'm personally interested in. Leckhead is out on the Switch.
Yep.
Sonic Origins is out. There's that Pocky and Rocky remaster that I'm looking forward to. And Fire Emblem Three Hopes.
Yes.
And who knows? Maybe a bit of news coming down the pipe.
Hey, we can't tell yet.
No.
That's the crazy thing. I don't... Yeah, if that Switch Direct... We'll try and... it'd be good to record soon after that Switch Direct happens.
Yeah. You know it.
I don't know if that's going to work.
So we'll be recording the day before.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you for listening. July the 2nd, come and see us at Comedy Republic in Melbourne.
Yes.
Or watch us live from wherever you are in the world. Comedyrepublic.com.au. Get onto the Patreon. Get
yes.
the bonus episodes every week. And we got lots of stuff coming up for you in July. And we've got the Bandcamp episodes. We just recently did one.
Oh, yeah.
On the Shock series, BioShock and System Shock, and a couple of other games in the mix there too.
Yes.
It's about 2 hours long. It's a deep dive on all of them. And yeah, people enjoying it so far. So check that out. Filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find all those links. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
neon white is so good it makes me want to strangle a puppy. Ooh, woo. It's like that. It's no good.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.